This is the Young Farmers Podcast. I'm Lindsay Lusher Shoot. The Young Farmers Coalition is focused on making change through policy. So it's important to us that the policy we advocate for is really rooted in the experiences of farmers. That's why we do in-depth analysis of what it's like to farm in the states where we have chapters and organizers. Researching these reports takes months. We hold listening sessions, send detailed surveys, and take a hard look at all the data, demographics, land prices, and more. Because we need to understand the challenges in order to create solutions. We did this in California, you remember Mai's interview, and also in Pennsylvania. Today, I'm speaking with one of the authors of Growing Pennsylvania's Future, Karen Gardner. She tells us about the significant challenges that farmers are up against in the state. Before we get into it, this episode was recorded just before the Census of Agriculture was released.
Hi, I'm Norius Gorin, farmer at Urban Sprout Farms in Atlanta. I'm a member of the National Young Farmers Coalition because I like to have my voice heard, and I like the young farmers that are in my network and this food movement to have their voice heard. In addition to being a part of a bright and just future for agriculture in the United States, you'll also get discounts like 10% off high-mulling organic seeds and 30% off redback boots. It pays for itself. To join, go to youngfarmers.org. Thanks.
Karen, you and Adrian have been working on an incredible report, Growing Pennsylvania's Future, about the needs of young and beginning farmers in Pennsylvania. To start with, I would love if you could just tell me about Pennsylvania agriculture. Like, what grows in Pennsylvania and what are the dynamics at play in the state?
Absolutely. Pennsylvania has a really diverse agricultural scene. We have row crops, we have vegetables, we have either the first highest or second highest production of mushrooms in the country. A lot of fruit is grown up in Lake Erie area. A lot of regional diversity based on western, eastern, and central Pennsylvania. Western and eastern Pennsylvania have more urban areas, where central Pennsylvania is quite rural, so there's a lot of land for farmland. And in general, we are leading the nation in farmland preservation, and we have an economy that's really built on agriculture.
In the report, it talks about 96,000 jobs disappearing from rural Pennsylvania since the recession, and 17 rural counties, 35% of rural counties in Pennsylvania, experienced job losses of 10% or greater. Are those agricultural jobs that have been lost?
It's a mixture. It's agricultural jobs, manufacturing jobs. Coal is a real industry here in Western Pennsylvania, especially where I'm from and where I live, and has been decreasing. Part of that is agriculture, but a large portion of it is manufacturing and other rural jobs that are disappearing.
Right. So I guess agriculture could provide new jobs.
Exactly.
The other thing that struck me is actually currently the age of Pennsylvania farmers is a little bit lower than the national average. But between 2007 and 2012, only 94 young farmers entered the profession in Pennsylvania, and the total number of farmers decreased by 2,195 during the same period, over 2,000 farmers who are no longer farming. Do you think the rate of loss of farmers and the increase in age, is that something that's accelerating in the state? I wonder what those numbers mean to you.
What I hear from farmers on the day-to-day is that there are some really impressive barriers keeping young farmers from starting farms. I am really interested to see what the next census results are. The previous census results showed that for every four farmers in Pennsylvania over 65, there's only one under 35. And I hope that it improves. However, what we hear anecdotally and what we have seen in our research and in our statewide survey here in Pennsylvania is that young farmers are really excited to join the agricultural industry, and they're facing some really clear and really solvable barriers.
So for this report, you guys surveyed nearly 100 farmers. What was the purpose of this research?
We really wanted to get a lay of the land. We started working in Pennsylvania because several young farmers had come to the National Young Farmers Coalition and said, you know, these issues that you're working on in New York with land access and other challenges are really affecting us here in Pennsylvania, and we need some support. And so we wanted to talk to young farmers and hear from them. We held a series of listening sessions across the state and then put out this statewide survey that really dove into some of the concerns and questions that we were hearing about in our listening sessions to better understand how are young farmers doing? What are they facing? What do they need?
So what did you learn?
We learned that there are three main challenges standing in the way of young farmers here in PA. Land access, workforce development, and farmer services were the things that we really heard about the most. Land access is the number one concern, which is similar to what we've heard from across the country. In our survey, that 56% of farmers said that land access was either a significant challenge or somewhat of a challenge. In listening sessions, farmers explained that non-agricultural development pressure was really driving up land prices, especially near cities or urban areas where young farmers are often located because that's where the highest concentration of consumers are. So we heard a lot about both young farmers struggling to find high quality, affordable land and young farmers struggling to find secure land access. A lot of folks talked to us about leases being a struggle. In our survey, only half of farmers who were leasing land had a formal lease, and the remainder had handshake deals or unwritten leases, which really lack a lot of stability.
Why do you think that still happens, that people have unsecure land tenure arrangements, you know, poor leases? Like, there's been a lot of investment in this area of helping young farmers write better leases, support for landowners and the like. What is your thinking on that?
I think that there's a culture of, if you trust me, then you'll trust my word.
It's so hard for a young farmer to negotiate.
Exactly. Yeah, I understand where it comes from. It comes out of a desire for mutual trust, but it ignores power dynamics. I think that the culture comes from maybe a positive place of trust, but doesn't end up translating to a positive reality.
Like, what are some of the outcomes that you saw in Pennsylvania of farmers having no lease at all, or one that really doesn't speak to their needs long term?
The outcomes are folks getting kicked off their land. You know, having a 2-year lease that had been discussed as something that would go on as further cut at 2 years, or even more so, having a lease cut when a farmer wasn't expecting it, and having someone say you need to be off the land in 30 days when they haven't harvested yet. And I know a farmer who had to get out of farming, who had a very successful business here in Pennsylvania, ran an incredible direct-to-market farm, and is no longer farming because she got kicked off her land and she had made so many investments that she couldn't start over.
Yeah, way too many stories like that all across the country. And then, you know, there's another thing that you pointed out here too, just some cultural issues about the transition of land from one owner to the next. Like, some of the young farmers don't feel like they sort of are in the right networks to be able to find land that might be available.
Absolutely. That was something that came up a lot in our listening sessions. Communities have relied on word of mouth networks. And especially in rural communities, that has made some sense in the past. However, a lot of new farmers and young farmers getting into the business are first generation farmers. They may not come from those communities. And we've also seen that word of mouth networks and community networks for selling land can exclude folks, especially socially disadvantaged farmers, female farmers, LGBTQ Q farmers, farmers of color, have all said to us that they don't always feel comfortable or welcome and therefore have less access to land.
I want to hear about the other challenges that you found. One of those was workforce development. Are you talking about labor there? Farmers are having a hard time staffing up their farms.
I'm talking about both labor and learning opportunities. A lot of young farmers talk to us about the desire for more apprenticeships to facilitate farmer-to-farmer training and to assist with farm transition. Many young farmers in Pennsylvania have left the state to learn on a farm outside of the state and then came back, even though they would rather just be in Pennsylvania. Farmers talked about a greater need for investments in on-farm training, in incubator farms, in apprenticeship programs. And separately, a lot of farmers talked to us about the need for skilled labor. So I think that workforce development gets at both of those concerns, the concern that young farmers are learning on farms. And 49% of our survey respondents said that their most important learning experience was apprenticing, working, or interning on a farm. And yet there isn't a lot of investment in those opportunities, and that there's not enough skilled labor available to farmers running businesses.
So Karen, I wonder, as someone who has been in this farmer community for some time and growing up in Pennsylvania, what in this report was surprising to you? What did you learn?
The disparity in land price across the state was really surprising to me. It makes sense now that I know about it and I'm thinking it fully through, but both the price of land and how that price of land can really depend on where you are, and how that's really challenging for young farmers. Because if you want to sell to the Philadelphia market, which is a wonderful market with lots and lots of people, it's really a struggle to find anything within a few hours that would be affordable to a young working farmer.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, this map that you have here in the report talking about the median sale price of properties identified as agriculture, I mean, the prices, there's a huge range, you know, $70,000 to $500,000. Are these properties all of the same size, or clearly that tells us that properties nearer to Pittsburgh and to Philadelphia, I mean, wow, there's a huge, huge price difference. But how should we interpret these numbers?
Yeah, unfortunately, they aren't all properties of the same size. And there wasn't a way with this specific data to account for the size of each property sold. So this is a map of the median valid sale price for properties identified as agriculture. Basically, this is agricultural land that was sold not between family members, so sold on an open market across the state between 2015 and 2017. And the median price, so if you had a whole list of all of the sales prices, it would be the center price. That median is $225,000. And this map shows which counties have median sale prices above that. So on average, we can assume that the farms that are being sold in those counties are more expensive on average than $225,000, and then those that are below.
So it's all the farms mm-hmm. in a list that mm-hmm. are for sale. Here's the one that's smack dab in the middle, which obviously tells us quite a bit. Okay, we have these big challenges facing PA farmers. What are ways to get at some of these structural issues that young farmers are facing in PA?
So there's a lot of different ways that we can look at changing some of the policies that might affect young farmers and help them be able to afford and access land. In our recommendations in this report, we talk about incentivizing the sale and renting of land and agricultural assets in general to young and beginning farmers. So In Minnesota, there was a bill that was passed that incentivizes the sale and renting of land through a tax credit. So we're looking at a bill similar to that one here in Pennsylvania. That would basically give a tax credit to a land or asset owner for selling or renting to a beginning farmer. We're also talking a lot to the folks who are involved with farmland preservation here in Pennsylvania. So in New York, National Young Farmers Coalition and partners helped to pass a really important piece of legislation that focused on working farm easements. And we're really looking at something similar. We'd like to prioritize funds for working farm easements in the Agricultural Conservation Easement Purchase Program, which is Pennsylvania's farmland preservation program. So prioritize easements that include affordability and farmer ownership provisions, as well as include a minimum of a 3-year written lease. And that gets back to insecure leases and how that's really a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the working farm easement, I worked on the New York State effort with our chapters here. You know, I know the PA conservation program is managed pretty differently than in New York, where it's fairly centralized, controlled by governor, legislature, and obviously carried out by the Department of Ag and Markets. And we were working with a situation where initially the Department of Ag wouldn't fund those kinds of easements at all for whatever reason. And then the bill required them to. So I guess my question is twofold. Like, does the state of Pennsylvania already allow for those kinds of easements? And what are the chances of getting priority for them? And is that something you pass on the legislative level, or do you have to go sort of county by county? Because I know there's more of a sort of model of local control in Pennsylvania.
We're still working on this exact question. We have a really good relationship with the folks at the state level who are working on farmland preservation. But it has been unclear to us so far exactly how a bill like this would affect the farmland preservation program. And so we're going about working on this issue and figuring out exactly how we could change and make funds available for working farm easements. So for your first question, they are not currently available for working farm easements through the state program.
And the rub is, just for listeners, that working farm easements keep farmland affordable, but they're more expensive. So you're saying that in Pennsylvania right now, you can't fund more than sort of a basic conservation easement with state funds.
Yeah, that is. So from our conversations with administrators in county farmland preservation programs across the state, and at the state level, that's what we've understood. There may be some county that I haven't been able to get in contact with who's gone rogue and is able to do this. I don't want to say that that's out of the question, because there's a lot of counties who are participating in this program. And as you say, there's a lot of local control. On the whole, working farm easements aren't being provided here in Pennsylvania. And many of the conversations we're having right now is really introducing folks to that possibility, talking about why it's important, nominating folks to be on the state agricultural preservation board who are interested in innovative ideas like this. I wish I had an answer on exactly how it's going to happen, but we're kind of working on both sides.
What's the level of enthusiasm from whom? Like, how are people sort of receiving this idea, both lawmakers and administrators and farmers? Is it recognized as something that could be workable in PA?
Farmers are very excited about it. Legislators are really interested in the model, and the Department of Ag is really interested in the model. So I think there are some really good conversations happening. Funding for the Department of Ag and for farmland preservation looks like it may increase this year. The governor of Pennsylvania recently put out the Pennsylvania Farm Bill, which is the most ambitious funding plan that has been seen in a decade. I think the lay of the land is there's a lot of interest, and hopefully there will be some really good action in the future.
Yeah. So to what extent does the governor's farm bill speak to the needs of young and beginning farmers in Pennsylvania?
The governor put forward a very ambitious plan for agriculture in the state. He's really focused on moving forward on workforce development, which is something that we are obviously very focused on as well. Looking at farmland transition, as well as thinking about some of the emerging markets. We're really struggling in light of the nationwide dairy crisis. And so thinking through what are some opportunities that we can really invest in. One of those opportunities that the governor is really interested in is organics. We are the second highest producer of organic food from farms in the state. And he would like us to be the first. That seems a little overly ambitious to me because the first is California. But really investing in several of the different parts of the agricultural economy. And we want to make sure that young farmers are part of that conversation. So some of our other recommendations are about making sure that young farmers are at the table in conversations at the state level and with the General Assembly, looking at where these funds go. So making sure that workforce development funds, for instance, don't just go to high school programs, but also go to on-farm training programs. I think that there's a lot of optimism and a lot of excitement around the Pennsylvania Farm Bill that we really want to make sure translates into real opportunities.
There's definitely a lot of emphasis, it seems, on like agriculture and rural youth organization, as well as another $500,000 for childhood nutrition and exposure to agriculture. I just wonder about like the visibility of young farmers. I'm talking about, you know, who the Young Farmers Coalition serves, farmers post high school, post college, people who have like made this choice to become a farmer as their career. And if you see the governor recognizing that community and need to specifically support young and beginning farmers who are in it, who are not, you know, it's not a school program, it is their life choice.
You know, I think that visibility is a real problem here in Pennsylvania. I can't speak to whether the governor specifically is recognizing those folks, but I think that in general, there is a feeling here and a sentiment that I hear that, well, who's going to get into agriculture? And I think that that is especially the case in light of the dairy crisis and in light of, you know, the horrible season that we had here in Pennsylvania this last year, and in light of communities that are often, you know, we live in a very rural state, and so there's not always a lot of communication between and among different communities. And young farmers have talked to us, especially in central and western Pennsylvania, feeling really siloed and disconnected from the greater farmer community. A lot of young farmers in Pennsylvania don't know what loan options are available, what business services options are available through state programs and federal programs. They don't always know who to contact. And I think that is another symptom of a lack of connection between and among farmer communities that connects to the lack of visibility. Our laws are written in Harrisburg. Here in Pittsburgh, we're 4 hours from Harrisburg, and young farmers in this area aren't always able to get out to Harrisburg to talk to their legislators, to connect with the Department of Ag. So there really is some siloing of information and some concern that young farmers aren't at the table, that folks aren't sure that young farmers are there and ready to take on this next generation of agriculture. What we've heard from farmers across the state is that there are young farmers who are really excited to invest in land, to invest in their communities and businesses. They just need help finding land. They need help getting access to business services. They need help finding learning opportunities on farms. So it's a problem.
Right.
It's a very winding answer to your simple question.
Yeah, but... I hear that. That makes complete sense to me. What can people do to get engaged to help farmers in Pennsylvania? What kind of campaign would you like to see in the state to support the next generation of Pennsylvania agriculture?
Well, they can get in contact with the Pennsylvania team here at the National Young Farmers Coalition. We are actively building coalition around these issues and really excited about incorporating new voices, about hearing from young farmers, hearing from consumers, hearing from anyone who's interested, and putting your voices behind young farmers here in Pennsylvania is really important. We have such a long, strong history of farming in this state, and we have incredible farmland, and we have incredible farmers. So we have all the ingredients to make this work. We just need to move policy forward. So whether that means coming to an on-farm visit, coming to a lobby day, writing a letter to your legislator would be amazing. Make sure that you're on the newsletter for the National Young Farmers Coalition with your zip code, because that's how we find you. And consider becoming a member.
Karen, thank you so much for this report. When is it going to come out?
In April, you will see this report published, and we're really excited to share it.
Thank you, Karen. If you want to know about campaigns happening in your state, just go to youngfarmers.org. There, you can sign up for emails or join as a member. Be sure to put in your zip code so that we can send you events and actions that are relevant to your region. Honestly, we only send emails when it's important, so really do sign up now. If you want to read the Pennsylvania report for yourself, go to youngfarmers.org. And if you want to know more about that Minnesota law we were talking about, check out episode 38, where I interview one of the leaders of that campaign. This week, we have a new review on iTunes. Thanks to Jean Bauer, who writes, "I greatly appreciate the thoughtful approach of this podcast and how it addresses timely and relevant issues around our agriculture system, which have profound impacts on our health and well-being and the planet." Jean, I totally agree. Thank you for this review. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already written a review for the Young Farmers Podcast, we would love to hear from you. Just takes a minute, and it really does help us do better work. It also helps other people find the show. Special thanks to our podcast intern, Maya Benayoun. This week, we also welcome Bilal Sarwari to the podcast team. You can learn more about Bilal on his Instagram at hipstergardener. This episode was produced by Jessica Manley. It was edited by Hannah Beal and recorded at Radio Kingston. See you next week.